This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Happy Monday, everybody. Sun's out and shining. But it's construction season. And I don't even want to get into my deep-seated depression over that fact. I swear my commute... It's been good for about 7 months, and now it's right back at it. There's going to be construction everywhere, and I guess that's how you fix the damn roads, but I feel like they keep fixing the same ones over and over and over again. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Anything exciting this weekend?
I mean, just it's depressing on Saturday.
Yeah.
With the game.
Yeah, and frustrating.
Lots else went right over the weekend, but that was one thing that I wanted to go right that did not. And beautiful setting there to see the 95,000 people, whatever there were there. That was really cool. Glad the weather cooperated. Remember earlier in the week, it looked like it was going to be like 45 to 50 on Saturday, and then they obviously got a different model that came in, and I think it was like 20 degrees by the time they dropped the puck, which was great. Did my taxes yesterday. Got that done.
Did you?
Yep. Good. You know me. Want to get them done quickly.
Yeah, I got to tell you, based upon your personality and what I know about you, it is like the most prompt thing. Every year, taxes, you are way, way, way before we are ever done.
Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Get it on, get it over with.
He is on top of it, people.
That's right.
He is on top of
it. So that's always exciting, Doug.
Is it?
When you're doing that scramble through the house to find... Your tax information that you need, property taxes and everything else, W-2 forms and whatnot. Yep.
There's invariably a form you have no idea what it is.
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, I've got to get the 3535I. Oh.
Right.
I don't know what a 3535I is.
Yeah. When the tax forms start looking like BMW models, then you're concerned about that, right?
Not good.
Yeah. But I got it done. So that was good. And then... Obviously, Michigan State with a big win. You know, the Tigers are—they're giving you something to listen for or to look for in a box score to watch if you've got time to watch on the game.
Yeah.
So I filled out the weekend nicely.
You know that call at the end of the Red Wing game, which got a lot of attention for obvious reasons. The way you look at it, and the way I tend to look at these things, and say. All right, we have a legitimate beef because it seems like the most obvious thing ever that we have a legitimate beef. Had that been called, okay? Had that been called a high stick,
yep.
Would Columbus be outraged today?
I don't think so. Well,
how could they be?
They couldn't be because it's absolutely flat out a high stick.
Yeah, it's not. Nobody would be talking about that call had it been called.
And the fact is that they called one earlier in the game was almost the same thing.
Yeah.
So you got to. You got to call it, and the referee's looking right at the play, and he doesn't call it?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yep.
And now the Red Wings are in the second wild card spot with 66 points. And, I mean, it's only like every team left in the conference is in contention, it feels like. I mean, you go down to 61 points, so the Wings have a 5-point advantage over the Islanders. Between the Islanders and the Red Wings, you've got the Flyers, the Canadiens, the Bruins, the Rangers, and the Senators. But that's all.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Columbus is now 2 points ahead of the Red Wings for the top wild card spot, and Tampa's put some separation because now they're 6 points ahead of Columbus in the Atlantic for the third spot. So they got work to do, and there's only 22 games left, which means there's 44 points available. What's that point total that you feel comfortable with that, okay, if they get to this point total out of the 44 points, how many do they need to take to make you feel like they've got this?
It is stunning how similar the situations are to last year and, quite frankly, the year before. And, here we are again. And we can talk about the zeroed in on this season, the short the short-term ramifications of what happened over the weekend. And we can zoom out and say, how are we back in this same situation? And look, I have, I still think that the big move gets made, but the context of being back here again is a little bit bothersome. I don't want to come across in any way with this discussion as saying, I don't think Eisenman's going to work but it's okay to question why we're here again. Like I do believe that there are successful slow builds. You can slowly be building, making prudent drafting, waiting for your guys to populate your NHL roster, the guys that you've taken, invested in. But you also want to be going a step up the ladder every chance that you get. And we're here again. And that's sort of the big picture. The smaller pictures, do I think this team is going to make a move this week that propels them toward the playoffs? I do. I really believe that they will. I think a lot of it has to do with swinging and missing, coming close in previous years. And you know, whether the sense of, I don't want to use the word desperation, but in the big picture, this hockey team been playing so well before undermining confidence with back-to-back losses to Columbus, where last year they went on, I believe it was a 6-game losing streak right around the trade deadline and undermining confidence. And the year before, they lost back-to-back games to Ottawa right before the trade deadline to undermine confidence. Again, right? And so it's just frustrating to be back here. And we all want the same thing. And we all could see how this could work as far as a team that can make the playoffs. And once you're in, anything can happen. But man, the one thing that I wish, it'd be great to have an elite goaltender. And that's where you really become a factor. No matter what your record is or where you're seated, if you can get elite goaltending. And there are times where you think that the Wings goaltending is outstanding, but they're kind of in a tough spot again right here, right now.
Yeah, they are in a tough spot. And with the deadline, what is it, Friday? It's looming. Other teams are starting to make some moves. The Red Wings, I think, will make a move or moves. And I also think that they've got – keep an eye on what's happening a little bit in Sweden with Axel Sandin Pelikka, the defenseman. He's really, really good. And if their season comes to an end, do they want to take a look at him? Or is this a guy that they just, okay, we'll worry about it next year? Or do they want to take a chance? Because he's played awfully well for that club in Sweden and also in the international competition with Team Sweden. He's done well. So with the junior championships, he was outstanding. He's an offensive-type defenseman, but get the puck out of the zone kind of guy, right? Is that something they could use? I'm just curious how what they're going to do.
I feel like they have to be a little bit more risky, a little more daring, a little more aggressive than they've been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So could that be a move? Yeah, that could be a move. But it also feels like, you know, this trade deadline week, they're we'll get into the details of it and get to some of what Eisenman said a year ago. So people can maybe understand the context and run down some of the names they might be going after. Of course, there's a lot going on. Disappointing result on Friday night between the Pistons and the Denver Nuggets. Came back, bounced back Saturday, which was nice, and took care of business against Brooklyn. They've got Utah tonight. You also have the Michigan and Michigan State games from yesterday. Spartans now in command of the Big Ten Chase with 1 week to go, and they'll be hosting Michigan on Sunday. We got Champ and Chump. We do it every Monday. Get your Champ and Chump votes in. We'll have ours today at 10:35. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Look, how do you define reliable? Well, here's how you define it. Somebody that you pick up the phone and call and are going to help you out. That's what happens when you talk to the great folks over at Precision Garage Door. Years ago, I needed some garage repairs. I called them up. They came out immediately and fixed the problem. And when I needed to get new garage doors all together, did the same thing. They came out and walked me through the entire process. I felt ultra comfortable with it. They showed me all the options, and I've got beautiful garage doors now, thanks to Jackie's team. They were just a breeze to work with. And right now, in fact, You get a free door opener when you buy any new garage door. That's nothing to sneeze at, folks. That's a $499 value, and the sale ends at the end of the month. Plus, you mentioned 97.1 The Ticket. They're going to waive your service fee. I mean, that is awesome. We still have some cold weather that can still wreak havoc on your on the parts of the garage door. And make sure everything is working properly. Give them a call today. They're available weekends, available at no extra charge. They offer the industry's leading warranty, and all calls are answered 24/7, even on weekends and on holidays. So give them a call today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or visit PrecisionDoorMI.com today.
NFL Draft Combine over the weekend. We'll have thoughts coming up at 11. Standouts, guys, that right now look like they could be Detroit Lions. Who would you like to see be a Detroit Lion from the Combine? Again, we'll get to that at 11. If you want to jump the gun and have that discussion, feel free. Like we said, we got open lines at 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, get your votes in for Champ and Chump of the weekend. We'll have ours today at 10:35. In the meantime, okay, so we've got – Remy's dropped these back-to-back games to Columbus. And, you know, there was the – I think it was a six-game losing streak a year ago right around the trade deadline. There was the back-to-back losses to Ottawa 2 years ago right around the trade deadline. Steve Yzerman, the man in charge, this build, okay, which has been slow. I mean, it is been a slow build. And they were one of the worst teams in hockey, and they're no longer one of the worst teams in hockey. The question becomes, with this slow build, is it a slow build, or is it something that's just not working? How do you distinguish the difference? How do you instill confidence that this truly is a slow build to a better place versus it's just not working? And you know, what is my confidence? Where would my confidence be in this team, in this rebuild? Like, are you confident in the rebuild right now? Or is this a slow build, or is this just not working?
I still have some confidence here. I'm not going to lie that losing that game, to me, it wasn't how they played. It was, so that's what's going to help me with the confidence. The result is what kind of has it shaking, yeah, because they lost the back-to-back to a team that they need to stay in front of, and now they're behind. And that's what hurts.
Yeah. I'll tell you what my confidence is centered around. My confidence is centered around that this could work and that this is still part of a potentially successful slow build. Is the Red Wings have one of the higher ranked organizations in hockey in terms of depth, in terms of, you know, their young talent. Sandin Pelikka, who you just mentioned, and Marco Kasper, who's making plays, and Nate Danielson, you know, Carter Mazur, like people respect the Red Wings organization as far as their organizational depth. And so that, I, you know, that's part of the slow build. If you're going to draft and hoard prospects and not make win now moves, in theory, you should be accruing a lot of young talent. And they seem to be, the respect from people in the game seems to be there for that. But here's the issue I worry about. This is year six, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is it feels like a carbon copy of the last couple of years in terms of edge of the playoffs, not playing well right before the trade deadline. And, you know, I think Yzerman probably wants to give this thing gas. He's always been patient and said, we're not going to do, like, do we have that? We have the soundbite. This is 1 year ago. Okay. The trade deadline comes and goes and they don't make a big move. They don't do anything significant. And here's what Yzerman said a year ago. That's what he thought 1 year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has anything changed? The context of where they are, has anything changed?
Not really.
Because wouldn't that imply that I'm sitting here predicting a big move this week? But that's what he said 1 year ago, and everything. You know what they were last year when the trade deadline hit? They were in the number two wild card spot. Where are they this year? They're in the number two wild card spot. And So I think you either have to say, okay, after 6 years, I got to give this some gas because I got to show some progress. But when you have that attitude, sometimes you make a bad trade.
But a year ago, guys, I think that he was like, I'm not going to get rid of because, you know, these are prospects, are guys like Simon Edvinson and Marco Casper. Fast forward a year, Simon Edvinson and Marco Casper are two key pieces to this team. So thank goodness he didn't trade away those guys because these guys are going to be studs for the future. And, okay, now they have these guys that are playing in this team. So what's their where are the prospects now? Yeah, they still have some pretty high-end prospects, and they still have draft picks. I don't think he's keen on giving up his prospects.
No.
Would he be more keen on giving up draft picks? I mean, obviously, everything depends on the player that you're getting involved with. And there might be some pretty good players that are just on bad teams right now, and maybe those pretty good players have big contracts, and the price to acquire them isn't as big as you thought because of the contract. So what you're getting is the contract on an underperforming player, which doesn't sound too attractive. But the change of scenery aspect of it, does that matter?
Well, I'm pretty amazed at some of the names that are getting floated out there with trade rumors here, and we'll run down some of those names coming up in a minute because it just surprises me. I always hesitate at ripping GMs for trades that aren't made. And the reason is because you can't make somebody give you their good player.
Exactly.
You can't make them do that. You can try to acquire said player, but then when the curtain is lifted and you find out why no was said, usually it's like, oh, I wouldn't have done that either. But I also feel there's got to be a little bit more sense of desperation and aggressiveness here in year six because you're not guaranteed year seven. Like, I don't think Eisenman gets fired after this year, but the clock is ticking a little bit on a slow build where they're in the exact same place as they were a year ago.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come across as trying to run Steve Eisenman out of town. I'm not. But this is sort of the reality of where we are. If I said anything that you think is inaccurate, I'm willing to accept it.
No, I don't think anything's inaccurate at this point. If the scary thing is like what you don't want to do is miss an opportunity, miss a chance to take a big step forward, and if you miss that, do you become Buffalo, who's missed, I think, 14 straight years of playoff hockey that they've been without? And they're drafting at the top of the draft every year, and they've done nothing with it.
Now, there's a few points to be looked at. Like, the Red Wings had to respond in that third period on Saturday night, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And did they get robbed because of a ridiculous no-call? They did. Is it a team that, you know, had been really, really playing well leading up to the Columbus series? They were. There's a lot of other reasons to not, like, panic here over two losses. What came up a point short last year. Is McClellan worth a point where Lalonde wasn't? He is.
Yeah.
Like, there's all kinds of reasons to feel confident that this year's going to be different.
And the field was tight last year at this time, because that's what happens when you have this many teams make the playoffs. It just, the competition is there for it. This is an important week. You know, they've got to win their games. They play tomorrow night against Carolina. It's going to feel like they've got a playoff series against Carolina because they play them three times in the last, you know, 20 games of the season. And they got the trade deadline on Friday. We're going to find out this week which teams actually think they're going for it and which teams are not. And I hope the Red Wings are one of these teams that are going for it because they should. It's time. And I don't think the cost, and I could be dead wrong on this, but I don't think that the cost to acquire a player that could make a difference for this team, that would be an upgrade over what they have. Otherwise, you're not making trades. You're not making trades just to do it. You're making trades to get an upgrade over what you have. And when you've got open spots because Andrew Kopp is out for the year, and because, okay, we're going to be careful about players coming back from concussion, or because you've got fourth-line players that you could clearly find an upgrade over, you got to take advantage of it.
The clock isn't, like, ticking down to zero on Eisenman, but it's ticking, and I feel like it's time to get aggressive and take a risk, and there are risks out there to be taken. We will get to that today at 10:32. Our Champ and Chump nomination, and the players' names, who are some of the guys they could go after. Champ and Chump nominations today at 10:35. We got combine stuff. We'll get to draft combine discussion. who stood out and you like as a potential future Detroit Lion. That at 11:02. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, your family deserves the best water. Contact CGC Water and save $1,000 or more when you bundle a Connecticut Premier Softener with a Connecticut K5 drinking water system. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. If you're not filtering your water, you are the filter. Do not be the filter. With warmer weather and melting snow, make sure your basement is dry. Save 10% now on a new Zoeller sump pump from CGC Water Treatment and Plumbing. Your authorized independent Connecticut dealer. 855-339-4242.
Sounded like Paul smacked Kenny. Did you hear that at the end?
Yeah, there? Like, horse crap is what it was. But anyway, look, the Red Wings are an interesting situation. Okay, so I do feel like Yzerman has to be feeling we got to show some progress. Builds can be slow, and that's okay when they are. But you can also easily say it's just a sign that something isn't working. They're definitely better than they were. Got it. Yep, that wasn't hard to do. They were one of the worst teams in hockey. But you turn around a few years later and you go, wait a sec, a year ago at the trade deadline, number two wild card spot, Yzerman said what he said at the time, wasn't willing to give up top prospects and didn't feel like they were close enough to make a move, a significant move. What's going to be different a year later? Well, another year has been hung on the timeline. And I think it's time to get aggressive. And Gator, there's some young names out there that I still question the accessibility to some of these players, but their names are floated out there. And I think it's time they take a chance or two on young, talented guys who've gotten the job done in the past or haven't lived up to their expectation that might be shopped around. The Dylan Cousins thing, the center from the Buffalo Sabres, has been talked about forever. And he's still a young player. And he still did score 30 goals a couple of years ago and feels like, you know, a roll the dice at if he is truly being shopped around by Buffalo and it appears to be the case, that seems to be a guy that going after makes all the sense in the world. Quinton Byfield, 22 years old from the LA Kings, former top five, six pick, whatever he was, coming up just short of a Team Canada spot, you know, is a talented player. That the Kings, who are in a playoff hunt, his name continues to be floated out there as a possibility of a player that could get traded. Yes, please. Ryan Donato's a little older. The Red Wings have shown interest in him in the past, and Chicago isn't going anywhere. He's 28. He's having a career year. I believe his contract situation has him more of a rental, but these are some of the kind of moves that the Gator, it feels like it's time, and they can be justified as, hey, this isn't a, you know, this is a player that wins now, but a guy that we want to have be part of our core moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I like the three players you mentioned. They're younger players. Byfield would be, I mean, the guy really liked coming into the draft the year that he was drafted. He's got great size. It's like 6'5 and 225. That's huge. Love to have that, although he doesn't necessarily play as big as what he is, and maybe that's one of the reasons that the name is out there. Cousins is the name that most people recognize.
Yep.
And you mentioned that Donato's having that career season like that too. And the other name I throw out there is Jonathan Marchessault. He's not young. He's 34, but he's got a contract that seems like that's one that the Red Wings could absorb. I think it's $5.5 million a year for the next, I think it's 4 or 5 years. It's doable. And the guy who's not having a good season with Nashville, but he's, you know, last year he had 42 goals. This year he's got 18. So does he just need to be on a better team?
Right.
And, you know, this is just forwards, I mean, let alone defensemen. I'm not sure I think they need to find a way to improve both the scoring and the defense, which is something every team wants to do, without having to, you know, trade the world to get a goaltender. But you don't want to do that because you've got two goaltenders in waiting. You've got Cosa. You've got Augustine. They're two guys that everybody's waiting to see, you know, but we're probably a year away from seeing Cosa. And, you know, I'm not sure how much longer it'd be for Augustine, but probably several years away from Augustine too. But I think they can improve themselves in both the defense and the forward position. But just concentrating the forwards, there's a lot to like about all the players you mentioned.
248-539-9797. There are other guys out there, but, Yzerman, give it some gas this year, man. Give it some gas this year. Let's accelerate here and down the stretch and be a postseason team. Now, there are also, if you're desperate and you feel like you have to make a deal, you can make a bad one. That's an easy formula for making a bad trade, right? 248-539-9797. Time for our Champ and Chump nominations. My Champ of the Weekend Gator is one, Jackson Jobe. Another great outing. People say he looks like he is going to be worth the hype, and saw the performance this weekend. Very encouraged by Jackson Jobe.
Yeah, he looks great. Throwing near 100 already, and he's got some wicked movement on the pitching. He's fun to watch. I'm going to go with Michigan State Athletics for the champ. I know it's kind of a catch-all here, but, I mean, the gymnastics team, they're on a tear, looking to close out the Big Ten championship. The baseball team is ranked for the first time in forever. Tom Izzo's got the basketball team. Right now they're in position where they control their own destiny. They can win the Big Ten championship. And then the hockey team just captured their second straight Big Ten championship game over the weekend with a win over Notre Dame. So Michigan State's athletics department is doing very well right now.
My jump on the weekend is the officials for missing one of the most obvious high sticks ever.
Yeah,
terrible.
Same here. I mean, the referee swallowed his whistle, the blatant high stick of the end of regulation. It's embarrassing. And the other thing that's awful about that, Red Wings would have been on the power play.
Yeah.
With 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
One of the best power plays in hockey.
Yeah.
I like their chances.
Yeah.
To close that game out with the extra attacker for two full minutes before you'd have to go to an overtime period.
Well, with that said, get your Champ and Chump votes in. Champ and Chump, it's the People's Choice Award. You select him. We will tally him up and post on our website on Tuesday. Brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet. 248-539-9797. Open lines anywhere you want to take it. But feedback coming in. My champ of the weekend, this from Bob, is Alex DeBrincat. Champ of the weekend is the NHL for ignoring an obvious penalty by Columbus ahead of the game-winning goal. Nice job ruining the end of an otherwise great nationally televised game. So the thing about it is, if that doesn't take place, right? If that goal is disallowed because they call a penalty, there is not a topic on Columbus Sports Radio about the terrible call at the end of regulation that cost the Blue Jackets,
No. Right?
There's no discussion.
No, they would be discussing how they blew a two-goal lead.
Yep.
In front of 95,000 people.
Yep.
And a national audience.
Unnamed texter Doug and Scott.
And how they're stuck in Ohio.
Only the Pistons, Lions, and Tigers deserve any time this week. We don't need to talk about the weak-ass anti-Detroit grit Red Wings. Well, look, I mean, there's time for all of major food groups. It's trade deadline week, which can be an exciting time. They've got to give it gas.
I don't know. I thought coming back from two goals down showed some grit.
Yeah, it did. This mini skid doesn't get Stevie to make a big move. If this mini skid doesn't get Stevie to make a big move, I'll officially lose my faith that he is what it takes to finish this. He has what it takes to finish the rebuild.
Well, make a big move, but at what's the cost? And that's always the other shoe, right? Okay, hey, great. Look who they just acquired. That's awesome. Oh, what'd it take to get him? I'm curious. I don't know what it would take to get some player.
I feel like to get a player, like the ones that we mentioned, Cousins, Byfield, Donato is a little bit older. Alex Tuch is another player out of Buffalo that is scoring a lot of even strength goals that would be useful. They don't seem to need to add to the power play the way it is right now, but he could be available. If you start getting into some of those younger players, yeah, it's going to be costly, but pay the price.
Yeah, but it's not like they're going out and asking. I mean, with these players we've brought up, who knows what Steve Yzerman's picking up the phone and talking about. But it's not like they're trying to acquire a Tkachuk, where it would cost you an arm and a leg, right? I don't know what the cost is on any of these guys. I don't know if any of these guys is a first-round pick in return.
I don't think this is somebody shopping Torkelson, right? I think this is somebody shopping some players that have – that it's still going to cost. I think if I were in LA, I'd be saying, okay, if we're going to trade Byfield while we're still trying to make the playoffs, given the potential that he has, we're not doing it for nothing. And I would think I mean, Buffalo may do it just for future assets, although people are saying that's not what they're after. 248-539-9797. This wing situation is simple. If they don't make the playoffs, Yzerman and Larkin need to be looked at harshly. Larkin, because he's the leader of this team, and it doesn't give the vibe. And it doesn't give the vibe that he knows how to win. He doesn't give the vibe that he knows how to win.
Now, one card the Red Wings do have in their hand, if they wanted to play it, is the goaltending card. Because they have the two prospects.
Yeah.
That look like dynamite prospects in Sebastian Kosa and Trey Augustine. These two guys are awfully talented and they're young. Now, if they wanted to go get and make a big splash, that would be a piece you could use to get a monster player. Again, I'm not saying they're going to go out and get some monster player.
Well,
I don't think that's the case. I think they're probably just going to find an upgrade on the roster.
Do you tell someone pick your goaltender or do you say you can have this one? Like, are the Red Wings dictating to other teams which of the two are available?
Well, that's the other thing.
I mean, because goalies, I was once told by someone in the league, goalies have a long runway. You see them sometimes in the minors for a long time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Particularly when you're drafting them as 18-year-olds, you know? Yeah. And that's what they used the first-round pick on Kosa. And I don't know, what is he, 21 years old right now, 22? And, okay, he still hasn't really played in the NHL yet, but he will. And hopefully has a great career.
248-539-9797. Draft combine over the weekend. Guys that stood out that we liked. We'll get to that today at 11:02. It is Carson Anderson. Get your champ and chump votes in here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, you don't need luck this March to find the right HVAC team. The red, white, and blue trucks, they're everywhere. They're everywhere for a reason. You want to call the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. And they're going to help you and your family stay warm the rest of this winter. But don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau or some of their five-star reviews they have on Google. So whether it's your furnace or your water heater, a boiler, water filtration, schedule an appointment online. BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Look, we all want Steve Yzerman to be successful. That's clear. And he is a Detroit legend. And this has been a slow build. And we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the moves that haven't worked. And it feels like Yzerman, you know, you try and reach out to people in the league. And I've talked to, on a number of occasions, people who weren't exactly impressed or kind of raising the eyebrow at some of the free agent signings. And look, they've drafted reasonably well to the point where people think they have one of the better organizations in hockey. But if those guys aren't ready yet, then is it time to move one of them to help the current group? How much would it help the current group to say, I believe we can do something. Here you go. Here's a Ryan Donato to help. Here's an Alex Tuck to help. Here's a Quentin Byfield that's going to be here for a long time. And, you know, I ask people, are these guys truly accessible? Like, can you really, really get them? Because I'm not sure that that's the case. And the response I got was, yeah, they are. But it's not like you're going to get them free. And we played that soundbite from Yzerman a year ago. And he was like, I'm not ready to give up first round picks. I'm not ready to give up our highly coveted prospects. 1 year later, nothing's really changed. They're in the same spot as they were a year ago. But maybe this time he has a little bit more sense of urgency because where we are on the timeline.
Well, there might be more of a sense of urgency. And the other thing, the only thing that has changed is that some of those prospects are now with the big club. So if he's not going to trade the prospects that are on the roster, like Edvinson and Casper, that are making a big splash right now, but would he be willing to trade a prospect that isn't on the Red Wing roster? Might be. I think it's more in line probably with the draft picks at this point. But everything depends on who are you looking to acquire. How much of an upgrade is that player going to be over what you have in your roster? Is it simply an upgrade for the fourth line, or is it getting a number two center?
Dwayne from Pontiac says, chump referee Steve Willis for not calling a knockdown when Tank Davis took a knee. Is that a fight?
I didn't.
Yeah, it was a big fight this weekend.
Yeah. Did you see it?
I saw the highlights, and I agree with Dwayne from Pontiac. What was that about? But then again, Gator, you know this. Boxing is like the most shady sport ever, so really it doesn't matter.
Champ the Detroit Pistons for bouncing back Saturday after Friday's loss. That was kind of a big deal. Like, that's a team that, you know, the Red Wings, like, we're talking about the disappointing of the Red Wings. They lose at home to Columbus, come back Saturday, and lose again. Now, they played, there was some stuff they did in that game, which would lead you to believe, and stuff that happened in that game would lead you to believe they were worthy of winning. But, yeah, the Pistons bouncing back was a nice, nice bounce back.
Yeah, it helps that you get, you know, you're going to take on Brooklyn, but yep. You beat who you're going to beat, and they beat them soundly, not even close.
Champ Vlad, Golden Chump, everyone else on the roster. Michigan's picking a bad time to play poorly. They've got a couple weeks here before March Madness starts, so that's the good news. And their poor play, they were winning some games even while struggling, but I think you can make a case that their last seven halves of basketball, they've played one good half, and that was the second half against Rutgers. They have not played well the last seven. They don't look like themselves. Now, they've been dealing with some injuries, but still, it's not like injuries to Golden or Wolf or Trey Donaldson, the guys that typically are their lead dogs. They've been injuries to mostly bench or role players, but still.
And Michigan State just continues to dominate in second halves of games. Games can be tight in the first half. They can be trailing in the first half. And the next thing you know, second half happens, and they just, you know, take care of business.
Sure helps when Jace Richardson isn't on the bench with two fouls. draft picks mean zero for the Wings. Trade them all away. We don't need another guy that'll be ready in 5 years. It's time to turn the corner here. And now, am I crazy to think if the Wings don't make the playoffs, Larkin could be traded in a blockbuster deal this offseason? You know, I think the Larkin story is intriguing because I think he came away from the Four Nations thing. I think Detroit was energized about their guy. And quite frankly, he got...
You have some Riz?
Yeah. I don't know if I would use the term Riz in this particular case. Okay. No. Excellent effort.
Try it out.
Excellent effort.
He's going to try it out.
But I don't know that Larkin's performance has him, one would say he has more Riz, which is one of the terms the kids use for like charisma and the ability to speak with the opposite sex.
Pick up chicks, Doug. Pick up chicks is what you're looking for.
I don't know. I thought after that Four Nations Cup.
Isn't he married? I think he's good.
Well, the word you'd be looking for was more aura. Not Riz. Aura? Yeah, Riz would be like aura? Picking up chicken. Yeah, aura okay. Is more like just aura a vibe. You know?
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm not trying to break any families.
Yeah.
if we don't make a move this trade deadline, fans will turn on this team, especially season ticket holders. How can you in good faith sell and not make a move to be a playoff team? I don't know that they would sell.
Oh, I don't think they're... No. By no means would they do that. I think they're going to be buying at the trade deadline. I'm just not sure how big a purchase it's going to be. Is this one where you hide the credit card receipt from your spouse? Or is this like, hey, help me unload the car?
Well, if you're not going to get somebody that is
toilet paper, great.
A major difference maker, and look, we can discuss at great length who we'd go get. You can't make other people give you their good player. And if you are determined to make a move at any cost, that's how you end up overpaying. And that's how you, if it doesn't work, it can basically sink your career. Champ of the week, the WWE for turning John Cena heel, in what nobody saw coming. Chump of the week, John Cena for turning heel.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this warrants further explanation, Gator.
Well, the professional wrestler, John Cena. Are you familiar with John Cena and his work?
Yes.
Great guy off the outside the world of wrestling. Does all the Make-A-Wish stuff. He's awesome getting into acting. He's kind of funny, very personable. and has been a fan favorite or baby face for most of his career. And then all of a sudden, Saturday night was the Elimination Chamber, Kenny. Is that what it was?
Yeah, the Elimination Chamber premium live event on Saturday. He turned on Cody Rhodes, turning himself heel for the first time in his career since he's been, you know, there.
He teamed up with The Rock and they beat up on Cody?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
If it comes as a complete shock, it's awesome. When that happens in wrestling and you do it right, it is the greatest thing ever. When Hulk Hogan turned heel and turned on Randy Macho Man Savage 30 years ago, it was stunning and amazing. Wrestling has these moments in time that happened every 10 years or so that are awesome.
Yeah.
And this would be this might be one of them. Well timed.
Yeah, I was thinking it was on par with Hogan.
How did you feel about it in comparison to like when Larry Zbysko turned on Bruno Sammartino?
That surprised me more. Yeah. I didn't expect that out of Zbysko. Yeah. But. Yeah.
And then remember they solved that at Shea Stadium in front of 43,000 fans in a cage match?
Of all places, at Shea.
At Shea, right. And that was like in the early 80s, like 81 when that happened. Yeah. So.
No, that was a stunner.
And the crowd was chanting, "Remember Larry's chair. Remember Larry's chair."
Oh, Doug knows.
Yeah, yeah.
Who amongst us could forget? I got a shirt.
I remember Larry's chair. That was Team Sammartino. Still is.
All right, well, there you go. Champ is John Cena, turning heel. So wait, he got a chump vote for turning heel, and now he's got a champ vote for turning heel?
When it catches you by surprise, man, it's awesome. It's like a reveal in a movie that you don't expect. Like, oh, great.
Chump is the Wolverines for that loss to Illinois. John at work. Another vote there. Champ is DeBrinket. He's playing like Marcel Dion. Chump is the refs from Saturday night.
Yeah, DeBrinket's kicked it into high gear again, huh?
Yep. From unnamed texter, Champ Jace Richardson had 11-6-5 despite missing the 16 minutes of the first half against Wisconsin and carried MSU. Chump Michigan rebounding. How does a 6'2 Illinois guard get more boards than Wolf and Golden? What were their final offensive rebounding numbers in that game for the Illini? I didn't get a chance to look this up.
Offensive rebounds, they had 19 offensive rebounds.
Okay, how many shots did they miss?
They missed 39 shots.
So they missed 39 and rebounded. So Michigan got 20 rebounds, and Illinois got 19 of their missed shots.
This is correct.
Think about that. Now, continue to see Michigan gives up the most amazing thing. This is like the third or fourth game in a row, and it was multiple yesterday. Banked three-pointers. They gave up two more banked three-pointers yesterday.
Oh.
Let's see. Nick and Westland. Champ is Jalen Duren for stepping up as teams have focused on Cade. Champ is NHL officiating for forgetting they have a job to do. I mean, it's just, it was egregious. It's not even a call that takes a whole lot of thought and interpretation. It's a simple high-sticking penalty that somehow nobody saw.
Did you see the end of the Pistons game on Saturday night?
I did not.
Kang, were you watching the end of the Pistons game?
No, I was out of town.
The game's a blowout, right? They're just trying to run the clock. There's 5 minutes left. Asar Thompson just took over. And he has that ability where I can't wait to see this guy in like 4 or 5 years. I think he's going to be a star. He can take anybody one-on-one.
That's what we've been getting a lot of feedback since the Pistons are becoming, you know, more relevant and winning. Like, people are enamored with, he's got something, aura. Right,
right. Like you could say he's got Riz. Right?
He might have Riz too. Yeah, but no, I did see him do something like behind the back, like all of a sudden take it to the rim, with ease.
Ease. He's knocking down shots, like open jump shots. Like, okay, I got this. Boom, drains it. At one time, they showed his like over under total. The game was like 13, and at the time he had like 9 points. Comes up and down the court in the next three trips, and now he's got like 15 points in the game. He just turned it on.
All right, right now, let's hear from you. Did you fall in love with a draft prospect watching the combine? Is somebody you're like, I want that guy to be a Lion? Who did you see, Lions fans, NFL fans, that you want to be a Detroit Lion right now because of what you saw at the combine? We'll give you some names coming up. We want yours. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump votes, get them in. Of course, it's open lines. Take it anywhere you please. Here on the Carson Anderson radio program on a Monday on 97.1.